Hello, everyone. It's Chris Chico and Gary Boomershein, and welcome to today's Tuesday huddle call. Today is Tuesday, November 4th. We're almost two months left in the year. So in keeping with this will be the third call since we've done it. The last few calls, what we've done is instead of asking for questions and asking people to raise their hand, and also limiting the questions to really only be deal questions, what we've done in the last few calls is that we've opened up the call for everyone to just, you know, to be able to talk and to just ask questions while everybody's on the line and anybody can comment, and then also making it so that you really can ask questions about anything, whether that be campaigns, marketing, mailings, deal questions, whatever the case may be. Allowing everybody the opportunity to ask questions on any topic. And as always, the call is scheduled to go for an hour. However, if we don't have questions or we run out of questions, then we may end the call before the hour. Before we open up the call, Gary, I'm not sure if you have anything specific that you wanted to cover as a general topic, or I do have one thing I was going to mention about some of the leads, but I'll have you go first, and then I'll come, and then maybe if you have anything, then we'll come back to me, and then I'll open it up on my end.
Okay, just a couple things. We're going to unmute the line, and we're going to try this for a while. We had some feedback from some people that just wanted to make this more informal. And the problem with opening up the line, we'd ask that if you've got background noise, you probably should mute yourself. And, you know, we'll try this. The questions really can be anything related to the real estate that can, you know, the issues that you have. It can also be around productivity and management, hiring of, you know, inside salespeople, whatever it might be that you have an issue with. We're going to try this for a while, make it informal so that we get people interacting, and no question is stupid. So ask the question. If you have the question, probably three or four other people have it, and we're always looking for feedback. And so you can always send feedback and recommendations to suggestionbox@reivault.com. We do read it, and everything that you're adding to this this program is based on feedback. And so we do ask for it and solicit for it. And so with that, Chris, I'll let you go ahead and add your points. I don't have anything specific other than – actually, I do have a couple. For about 70% of you are using the pre-sale offer package. So you're sending out – we have a fulfillment company where we're sending out literally an offer – in the mail. So you're talking to a seller and they're not ready to sell. We are finding that get them an offer in hand. Get them an offer. We call it a pre-sale because, you know, you don't have a verbal agreement over the phone. And a perfect example is a couple of weeks ago in Florida, we talked to a lady who called us off of a postcard, and she wanted $100,000 for the house. And we offered her $60,000. And frankly, $60,000 was actually a little high, too. But we offered her $60,000 over the phone. And she hung up on us. And so our team did what we told them to do. And they entered in Podio. They entered $60,000 in a field that says offer price on the contract or on the pre-sale. And it's a little field, and they put $60,000, and then they clicked a little button that said send STL pre-sale offer, and then we sent a 7-page kind of FedEx looking envelope that says urgent delivery, and it's 7 pages with a handwritten cover page. It looks like it's handwritten and signed, and then a 2-page contract, and we got it back. And so the lady signed it and stuck it in the return envelope and mailed it back, and we actually sold that property. We didn't make a lot of money on it. What did we make, Chris? $5,000. But that's a deal that on a lady that hung up on us. So that's pretty consistent. So about 60 to 70% of you have actually are using the pre-sale now. There's some of you that have not. And if you don't know what we're talking about, and this is the first time that you're hearing about a pre-sale, you can go out to reivault.com/pre-sale. There's a 45-minute call that Chris and I did that's recorded, and there's a link at the bottom of the screen where you need to click it and you need to fill out a few things. For us to do it, we gotta configure a few things for you, and there's some training involved. And so you're going to have to give us your fax number for people as an option to send the contract back. And so you'll just need to go make sure that you fill that out. Couple other things, because I know some of you are going to ask. Right now, we are fulfilling, meaning putting in the mail, only once a week. So we're sending out the pre-sale once per week. And the reason is that we have a minimum quantity per run of 75, which actually is going to go up to 150 per week. And that means, you know, because we're all sharing the service, our team might be sending out 30 a week, and other people might be sending out 5 or 10 a week. And so as a combined group, we have to have 75, and that's why we're mailing them once a week, or, you know, when we meet that 75 number. And that's just what happens is a mail fulfillment house actually has to set everything up. They got to pull the envelopes off the shelf. They got to pull the specific 24-pound paper and the postage and the return envelope, et cetera. And so we're trying to add more people into our group, into REI Vault, so that we can actually mail those things daily. And I think we got like 80, 85 people in the group. We're trying to take this group up to about 200. So if anybody has anybody outside of, you know, obviously you don't want anybody in your market, but if you had anybody that you think would be a good candidate for REI Vault, just send them to reivault.com/VIP and make sure that they tell us that they were referred by you, and we'll give you some free mail credits, probably like $500 or $600 worth of free mail if they end up signing up as a thank you. And we're just trying to get more volume so we can add more services. So with that, Chris, what else you got?
The only thing I was going to mention, which kind of piggybacks on what you said, is that, you know, we got the, I think you saw, we had a fax of two contracts from a seller today. And actually, I was on the phone with Gil today, and he spoke with a lead that I think will end up turning into another contract. And all these are older leads, you know, so we went back and we had done, you know, we've been doing marketing for all these years, and we said, you know, let's go back to some of these older leads because we noticed the pattern of people coming back after 3 or 4 months, and we've went back as far as a year and a half, and we've been calling. You know, it's quite a bit of leads. We probably have about almost 600 leads, so it's been ongoing now for the last couple of weeks, but we've been getting some, and it's interesting. I find that interesting, and you may not have 2 years worth of leads to go through, but the point I was trying to make with that is that older leads, you know, it's following up with people that may say yes, that may say no today. Their situation changes. Sometimes it takes a couple months for the situation to change. Sometimes it takes 6 months. But overall, I think, you know, continuing to follow up with these people, you know, unless they tell you, you know, let me just say, continuing to follow up with as many people as you can that have come in through the system and now are inside of your photo application, I think is a worthwhile investment. And I think, you know, utilizing the pre-sale house, getting on the phone with them helps. And, you know, in this market where it's competitive, there's a lot of people out there, you know, a lot of people out there teaching. There's only so much you can do. We can do the best we can on getting the phone to ring, but in the end, you gotta follow up with these people. And just what we've been finding is just that people's situations and circumstances change, and everybody's since forgotten about them, but you know, we get the deal because we're the only ones that are following up with them. So I just thought that was interesting, and I think it piggybacks on what you were talking about with the pre-sale too as well. And that was
I think rule of thumb, talk to every seller that you have not removed, like that's not dead, that's not a property that you do not want to ever talk to again. I would talk to every seller once a month. I would talk to a seller, even if you can call and just apologize. You know, Chris, our style is a little different. I'm always doing what's called disruptive selling. So disruptive is, you know, when people were, you know, especially in the United States, there's so much marketing and there's scams and salespeople, right? Everybody's trying to, you know, get a little piece of our money every day, right? Whether they're door knocking, you know, I can't, how many letters did I get in the mail, in my mailbox yesterday? I mean, how many credit card different companies and things? Everybody's trying to sell something to make, take a little bit of our money and put it in their pocket. And so I like to be disruptive. And so sometimes I'll call a seller and either use the word apologize, like, gosh, you know, I had you to call back 2 weeks ago and sorry it's taken a little bit of time. And it's just, it's disruptive. You know, sometimes I'll make a note in Podio and we'll make a note, you know, put a little comment. Somebody's going on vacation and, you know, call them back and, you know, don't just immediately try to say, hey, are you ready to sell the property? You want to just build a little bit of rapport. It's amazing how far that goes. And again, six phone conversations, is it really that big of a deal to talk to a seller six times? And especially if you're not having to talk about the property, you know, just say, hey, you know, I know we spoke and you were actually, you were just heading off to church. You know, a couple of, you know, the gal that sent us the contract, and there was another one that we got. This is one of them from last week. And I think you actually may have shown that in one of the video, Chris, where the lady was like going off to church and couldn't talk. And then we actually, the team didn't even call her for a month. And then they got on the phone and then the lady was finally ready to sell and actually even, you know, dropped the price considerably. So, you know, just have a reason. And that's why document something on that seller lead in Podio. It takes 3 seconds to literally type up a note, you know, that was, even if they hung up on you, or, you know, they said something, make the reference so you have it. If you look at the picture and it has it's a greenhouse with a blue, you know, a brown roof on it, or it has a flagpole in front of it, just mark it down. Those are references that build rapport. And it does work. It does work, and it's not just real estate.
Yep. So with that being said, let me go ahead and unmute the line. So if you have any, before I unmute the line, if you have any, if you're in a noisy environment, just mute your line on your end. I'm going to go ahead and unmute everybody. If there's a lot of background noise coming from someone, I might be able to pinpoint it. And so if I mute you, it's only because of background noise in the back. So, all right, so everybody's unmuted. So I'd like to open it up for questions. If anybody has a question or comment or any topic that they'd like to discuss. Yes?
Well, it's Jeff from Connecticut.
Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Good. How are you doing, Chris?
Good.
Good to catch up with you. My question is, Gary and I had a, you know, a private long discussion about my program and my acquisitions people yesterday. And I don't know, Gary, do you want to throw this out there and talk about it some more, or you want to leave it the way we left it, or?
You know, I was going to put you on the spot, Jeff, if we didn't get anybody else to comment, because I don't think your situation is uncommon. So
I don't mind talking about it. I want to, you know, I'm just here to make a deal. That's it. I mean, you know, friends are friends and business is business.
Right. So go for it. Unscripted.
Well, why don't you summarize it the way you see it, and then I'll give you the summary from our side of the equation, and then we'll see if we can bridge the gap somehow.
Yeah. So Jeff's in a market that is kind of a higher priced market. Would you agree with that, Jeff?
Sure. I mean, you know, we're in a coastal New York market. I mean, suburban New York. So it's probably somewhat similar to the California markets, although we don't have the quick selling times that you guys have.
I'm looking at. Give me just a second. You have a little under 600 leads that have come into Podio. So somehow, some way, they've entered Podio, which means they've hit the voicemail and they've left the voicemail, what have you. You've got two people on your sales team, right? You've got your daughter, and you've got another gal who you've personally trained, who's hungry, and they've been closing deals, primarily HUD deals.
Not Z-Buyer. I mean, they've been getting leads from Internet leads that we purchased, and now we have, I don't know, more of them under contract.
Right. And you've struggled closing. You've been struggling closing these REI vault leads with sellers.
We haven't really gotten anywhere with them. I mean, you say 600 leads, I say 100 because when I look at it, I see, you know, 100 want more information or are ready for offer. I mean, these things go back to April, so it's kind of thinking, well, kind of stale to be calling the hang-up.
And by the way, that number is a perfect number, Jeff, because what we've been finding is 15%, 20% of the leads in Podio are viable, that are actually worth a darn, right?
Well, then that makes perfect sense statistically, too. I mean, you're exactly in the tail there.
Right. I also, about 50% are typically hang-ups that are coming in. So people come in, they press pound or they press zero, and then they just hang up. And I currently see 191 hang-ups. So, you know, I think the issue. I've gone through your leads. I don't think anybody's really talking to the leads. I think there's a one-time maybe pick up the phone and call, but you know, there's interaction with the seller that needs to happen, and I'm not seeing it. I'm not seeing comments. I'm not actually seeing any comments on these leads.
Right.
So it's very difficult. The leads are they come in, and I see, you know, call for more information. I see 31 and call for more information. I see 50 that are ready to make offer. So what do? You know, the team should get on, whether it's you or whether it's your salesperson. Somebody needs to open up the lead, right? They need to look at the lead, which means, hey, these are ready to make offer. I click in Podia. I click on ready to make offer, so I just see those leads that are ready to make offer. Those are the best ones. I want to look at the picture first, right? I want to look at the transcribed message from the VA and say, okay, I can read in about 3 seconds what this probably took a VA 3 minutes to transcribe and see if there's anything there. And then I'm going to look at the house to see if it's a pretty or an ugly house, because if it's an ugly house, I know it's going to be easier for me to buy.
Right.
And then I'm going to get on the phone. Then we're going to get on the phone and we're going to, you know, talk to them. And I want to see, was this my first attempt to call them, my second, my third, my fourth? I want to see notes. Did I get a hold of that person? And I don't see any of that. And when I don't see any of that, then I ask my team, hey, where are the comments on this? Because you have to be talking to the sellers. The money on these leads will not magically happen unless we're jumping on them. Yeah, right? And so,
you know, I am completely perplexed about the thing because, you know, on the one hand, the girls are pretty productive. And on the other hand, I mean, I'm looking at my Podio account here. And I don't see any notes, really. I see first attempt, new lead. I don't get it, man.
Jeff. You're. By the way, and you are. And this is wonderful for everybody. And Chris, you can come on too, because especially when we have a team, right? When we don't have a team, there's nobody accountable except us.
Right.
and at the bottom, you know, at the end of the day, to make the money, we gotta get a signed contract, and then we gotta find a buyer and flip the property.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
If it's just us, but I just pulled up Richard Rubenstein, and I'm look, I just randomly I clicked on ready to make offer.
Do you have them arrayed alphabetically or by status or what?
Well, I went into your and Chris, I don't know if you see any background noise. We're getting a little feedback. Maybe we can mute somebody. But anyway, I clicked your seller app, went in and clicked the seller leads application.
Right, I'm in there.
Okay, and then on the right hand side under status, I just went ready to make offer because those are the ones that have been.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure, I did the
same thing. And then I randomly just went down. I saw record number 30 because you got 50 of them in there.
Right.
So I just said, okay, I'm going to pick this dude and just see what we got. So I went to Richard Rubenstein, and it's like I see Jenna, right, 3 months ago, spoke to him on August 13th. He has a portfolio of 10 properties. He wants us to send him info about, you know, our offer or whatever. Back a spreadsheet in the mail.
No,
just
I put
send
a
it
package
over
together and sent it to him. Matter of fact, I just was going through some papers yesterday, and I pulled out a hard copy of an email, and it's on my list to say, Jenna, what the hell? I mean, here's the guy who's retiring with a portfolio of
right,
properties.
Right. So what we would do is we'd get that out, and then when we get it out, I documented it got mailed, and then we would schedule a task, you know, for Jenna
right.
to follow up. I'd just go to the bottom of the little thing that said task, create a task. I'd put Jenna, call this guy, and follow up with him in 5 days. You know what I mean? And then Jenna should call him up and say, hey, you know, we sent out a, I know that you have a portfolio of 10 properties, and we sent out some information about those properties. We wanted to see if you had a chance to receive it. And, you know, just forward the conversation.
Yeah, sure, sure.
So, and by the way, I, this is 3 months ago. He probably still hasn't sold those 10 properties.
No, sure he hasn't. I mean, he's got
right?
a whole portfolio out east in Riverhead next to the Hamptons.
Right.
So, I was going to make a couple of comments. So, go ahead, Gary.
Go ahead, Chris.
You know, the comment I was going to make is a couple of things. Some of them are general, some of them are specific to what I see here, Jeff, is that you're in a high cost for acquisition market. And by that I mean that you're in the market where there's markets like California, San Diego, even some markets like Phoenix, even our market. They have all seen a higher increase in the cost per acquisition. By that I mean, if you consider how much you spend on marketing and then how much marketing does it cost you to pick up a deal, in the end, what is that?
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, on some of those high, some of those markets, cost per acquisition is as high as $7,500 a deal. I mean, granted, you're getting deals that you're making $30,000, but in the end, you have to spend $7,000, a big chunk of money. And so then what that does is that it's like I was trying to think of an analogy. It's like in some markets, it's almost as if you go out and let's say you wanted to play a basketball game and you just went to the first grade elementary and you picked up a basketball game with the fifth graders and I'm 43 years old, and so I run circles around them, and no big deal. In other markets, it's like, you know, you're going up against whoever, Connecticut, the UConn, and, you know, they're spinning you around like there's no tomorrow. And I think that in a market like you have, in a highly competitive market, I mean, you really have to be on your game. And by that, I mean that every single thing needs to be done in order for you to try to get deals done. And I think about our example is, I lost my headphones. Can you hear me still?
Go ahead.
So the other time, so that's number one. Number two is that what we found, and our acquisitions guy is Steve, who you guys have heard on the call here. Recently, he talked about positioning yourself with a seller so that you're coming across not as the investor, but as a company person. And so he's in charge of acquisitions. Extremely confident guy. I mean, if I had anybody to go up against anybody, I'd put him up on there.
Right.
And any day, I talked to him last week, we had a conversation last week, and he said, you know, we used to do mailings. And we used to always get at least one or two plum deals. You know, just hand me deals. Like seller wants 50,000, deal's worth 110. It's a lay down. We pick up a couple of those. We go through and get the rest of the deals. And, you know, we make, you know, it's not the case anymore. Now we gotta hustle for every deal. And that's fine. I'm not saying that as a negative or a positive. I'm saying that as the reality of the market, right? It's more competitive out there. And recently we actually took and we had kind of a, maybe a similar team to what you have you and then you have your two, you know, you have your two girls that are working for you. Steve, we have Steve and we have him with two VAs, virtual assistants, and we were not getting any traction. and we started to listen to the calls and on both of the people that were making offers. And then in the end, we reconfigured the team, and now Steve is the guy that gets on the phone. They tee it up, they get everything ready, but he's the guy that comes in and closes it.
Right, right.
And, you know, we didn't, you know, there were some feelings hurt, but we didn't care because in the end, when all said and done, all we care about is doing deals.
Right.
And so that was a combination of measurement, right? So, because one of the things that you mentioned is that you said, you know, the girls are productive, but, you know, I don't know what the measurement of productivity is. You know, there's efficiency and effectiveness. They can be on the phone all day, and you can see a call log of them calling and making calls all day, but if they don't close any deals, then it doesn't matter. And that's what we saw on our side. And we said, hey, they're on the phone all day, but they're not bringing us deals, so we gotta figure out what's going on. And, you know, on our end, you know, we figured out that, hey, they weren't coming across the phone the right way. They weren't, there was a lot of gaps there for us, and so Steve had to take the helm on that. You know, we also noticed some issues with follow-up and just the way that we're going after the lead and making sure that, you know, hey, if I look at a lead and it says ready to make offer, like I'm looking at another lead here, Ferdinand Andrews, and he says ready to make offer, but this is a call that was done 3 months ago, but the status hasn't been changed, then that's an issue because that means that the podium isn't worked the way it should be worked, which means that if I see one lead, I'm always of the mindset that, you know, the old, well, you know, the old theory of, what's that old thing with Giuliani, right, when he had the broken windows theory, if I see one broken window in the city, that means that there's a lot of other problems there because the broken window is a kind of a sign of a lot of other things going wrong. So if I go through leads and I see that there's a ton of leads that are not marked properly, that are not status, that don't have a task or an assignment of when there's going to be an additional follow-up, then I have to assume that that is really a sign of a lot of other things, a lot of other leads that are not being worked at. And I'm not pointing fingers at your gals because I don't know who, you know, I don't know them. I know that they're, you know,
Chris,
but I'm just saying,
they seem to be effective at getting HUD deals and deals from ZBuyer, which, you know, I mean, we got 7 deals under contract that we're negotiating contracts, you know, purchase and sale contracts on to flip them. So they're not doing nothing, you know what I mean? But my view is that they don't, you know, they're going for the lower hanging fruit. And it's...
Have you been able to listen to their phone calls when they're on the phone with the seller and they're making offers?
They're obviously not working the podio leads because they find that they get better results elsewhere. So, I mean, I'm at the point of they're not going to work these leads, you know. I mean, I'm going to hire an outside commission sales rep. I got a couple teed up, and I was on Odesk last night, and I found a couple of VAs that look pretty interesting that have a lot of real estate phone experience.
Are you talking about overseas VAs?
Yeah.
I mean, and listen, the 2 VAs that we had with Steve, they're overseas, and they were very well vetted because I vetted them myself, and I think I did a great job of hiring them, and they still were not up to speed.
Gary and I talked about this last
year. Yeah. I mean, you know, I going back to the question I asked you, I mean, have you listened to any phone calls of your gal going through it? Okay.
No, I did a few training calls with both of them, but it was me talking, you know.
Right. So, you know, I'll make this one comment, and again, I'm not trying to, I'm not, you understand where I'm coming from, Jeff, because I want you to do well, I want you to succeed. But the other part of it is you can't change what we don't measure. You know, it's almost as if I want to lose weight, but if I don't have any, if I never look in a mirror, I never weigh on a scale, then I, you know, what measurements do I have? And so, like for us, you know, our people record all the phone calls, and we go through and we listen to them, and that's how we found out that they were doing a crappy job and we needed to change it. I mean, they were doing the best they could. I mean, they were really doing the best effort they could, but it just wasn't good enough. So we had to change things up. But the only reason we found that out is because we actually got on we listened to the calls, and I was just like, wow, we got to stop this right away. And immediately the next day, we got to stop it. We got to reconfigure things because this ain't working. And Gary will attest to this. Within 2 weeks, all of a sudden contracts started to come in. I mean, it was just like that. But it's like you have to, you know,
so,
I would go back.
So how do I do to my team what you did with your team? I mean,
I think you have to take a really brutal approach, Jeff. And sales is the most important function in a business. And you can't force somebody to do it. And there's also a skill set. They have to be really hungry, and you can't basically pound them over the head. There's two motivators.
But you guys are talking like they're not producing anything. They are producing.
No.
Just not producing in your world.
Then keep them doing what they're doing. And if that works and you're happy with what they're doing in that world, I don't think you have a sales process or a sales team to handle FSBOs, okay? For sale by owner, which means going to the seller direct. I don't think you have a function for that. And you don't have a team that wants or is inspired or has any self-belief or any belief that they can, that the leads are any good. So they're going to self-sabotage. You know, unless all of a sudden they ended up knocking down a deal tomorrow, they're going to self-sabotage because now all of a sudden they said these leads suck, and all of a sudden if they're starting to turn around,
I mean,
you know.
They're no good to me either. I mean, you know, it's from my experiences. I mean, you know, my anecdotal experiences, you know, I hear what you say, and I listen to the calls and everything. But to me, they're no good either. At this point, I could have just taken $12,000 and burned it in the front yard, you know?
Yeah.
Well, you know, I want to make a comment. I think Gary would agree with me on this. Is that, you know, we have a team meeting every day. And now the team is producing. But let me tell you, the first 30 days, they were definitely, you could tense. There was tension in the air. You know what I mean? Because they felt pressure. They felt pressure that, you know, they have to have their best together. And they were there to produce, and we were going to call out any issues, and we were going to make, you know, we were there. And there was a bit of uncomfortableness about the whole call, and you have to. So that, we were okay with that because we want results. We were not there on a call to make them feel good, to make them. We were there for one thing and one thing only, is to produce results and produce calls. And you know, I think the reason I mentioned that is because. And it's you have to have, I think that's, you have to have that kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word, attitude or the whole feeling about the, you know, about the, there has to be that aura of, hey, we're here to get stuff done, and if you're not getting stuff done, it's going to be a problem. And in the end, yeah, you can make a ton of calls, but if you're not producing deal, and it could just be,
Well, again, you know, you're acting as if they don't get anything done. They do. They just don't get anything done on Podio, and I don't think that they have the mindset of doing the kind of follow-up that's required. I mean, I come from a very competitive environment. I was a commercial leasing broker in Manhattan, you know. I mean, I started out, and they said, you know, it's a 3-year sales cycle. They said, you know, you come here for 6 months, you canvas, and either you close a deal or you're out.
You got kind of two options, right? You got option number one, right, is just can this whole thing and just say, hey, this isn't a fit for you.
Right.
And just can it and be done with it and go after what works, right, and continue to do the HUD stuff that they're working and
you know, HUD's going to die. I mean, HUD, you know, they're calling these C-buyer leads and they're calling leads from Zillow, and you know they're trolling the market for business in Connecticut. Okay,
right. Okay, so the other option is maybe you're going to have to roll up your sleeves and see if this stuff works. If you have the expertise, maybe you got to take 3 or 4 weeks and go work some of the deals and build the process. I mean, that's what Chris and I when and this is for everybody. We always say don't hire a VA to call your leads until you actually close the couple and you really understand the process and you get it working yourself. Every business, until you actually have it, you can't really manage other people. There's no business on the planet. You know, everybody talks about passive income and like making money out of, you know, thin air and your underwear. It doesn't exist. It's all lies. It's like you got to first get it to work yourself, and then you got to manage a team. You have to manage, every morning, afternoon for Chris, we're on a call. We have a 20-minute call with the staff every morning. It's 20 minutes. It's focused.
I'm on from 9 to 9:30 every morning with them, too.
Yeah. But how much time do you actually talk, like, for instance, here's what our meeting is. The first of the month, it's basically, what are our numbers for the month? We post the numbers. These are the numbers. Here's how much money we're spending on marketing. And here's what we expect to have in the bank account that's closed. Here's the number of deals that close. Here's the number of contracts that we have signed. Here's the number of pre-sales that we've made, the number of follow-ups, and the number of phone calls down to the number per day. Is everybody in agreement? And then, every day we're working, and then we have a forecast review against the monthly plan. And it's hard. Mondays are brutal. Mondays are absolutely completely ridiculous. If you actually listen to Fly on the Wall yesterday, and they're because they went for 3 days and now they got to get back on the phone. Getting on the phone with the seller, nobody actually wants to talk to sellers. Everybody wants to basically wake up and have their bank account full of money, and nobody really wants to talk to sellers. So everybody's looking for the better little mousetrap where we don't have to talk to sellers. We got to get on the phone and talk to sellers. So, just to net it out, Jeff, you either have to do it or you got to get a really hungry, commissioned sales animal that's hungry, that wants to do this. And you know what I mean? The two motivators, okay? The two motivators, and that's why I think everybody has to do this themselves first, because they're accountable, right? If you're not calling sellers, you pretty much know it because it's you. But the two motivators are money or getting fired. And it's that simple. And so if your guy is commissioned, it's really nice because it's like the Seinfeld episode, right? When Kramer, got fired from a job he didn't even work for. If you have a commissioned salesperson, you don't even have to ask them to leave. If they don't make any money, they don't stick around. So somebody, a percentage of the profits if they're hungry, and then over time, you add an inside salesperson, i.e. somebody in the Philippines, or somebody local that calls the people and more, qualifies and follows up and calls
right.
The hang-up.
If they get warm, you pitch them to the sales guy.
Yeah, but that's what we do. Steve doesn't make any money. I mean, Steve doesn't make, we don't give him a salary. I'll never pay a salary or a draw ever again for a salesperson. It's like, here's the number, and you make a lot of money. How much money do you want to make this year? If you want to make 200 grand, okay, it's really simple. Here's what you got to do. And are you going to do it? And then let's measure how you do. And my job is I'm going to divvy up the leads. I'm going to get you the leads. I've set up the system. I'm going to spend the money on the marketing. And these leads are going to come in. Your job is to work them. And by the way, I want to talk to you about them every day. And when we get on the phone, Jeff, and this wasn't at the beginning, when we get on the phone, we're talking about the seller. Tell me about Michelle. Tell me what did Michelle say? And what are you going to do? And then we discuss, we discuss them. And the only way, it's not just like, okay, we talked to three people. Donna on the phone yesterday said, well, I don't have any new leads. And it's like, well, I see 15.
Let me understand something. So if you, me, and Chris are on a huddle call in the morning, right, and I'm the salesperson, do a little role play with me, okay? Are we looking at the Podio CRM? We're looking at the stuff under Jeff.
Yeah.
Right now.
So here's what we do. We use we have a little agenda, and the agenda is really simple. We have a Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We do what's called a huddle, just like we're doing here. We have a 20-minute huddle, and it starts off with action items, open action items from yesterday. Were there anything open from yesterday? And we go through those first quickly. And we're looking, we're using a TeamViewer, is a little tool. Everybody can write that down. It's a free little web sharing because we're all remote.
Yep. Right.
Okay? So we're looking at a little agenda that we have the same agenda every day. And it's like wins and then stucks. That's our agenda. It's like open items from yesterday, win stucks, and then open items that we, before we get off the call, what are the open items that we need to have solved by tomorrow, right? And usually what it the win is, so Donna starts, then Gil goes second, then Steve, then Chris, then me. We do that every single day. And then Tuesday, our call is 40 minutes, not 20. It's actually the forecast call. And that call is actually the forecast. It's basically we go back to what were the posted numbers for the month. So we're looking at one little slide that says profit this month in the month of November in this market, and what our marketing budget. So we want everybody to know how much money we're spending in marketing. We want them to see that it's costing this amount of money that Chris and I are spending in their market.
Mm-hmm.
It's not free.
Right.
And then the number of deals, you know, the average profit per deal in our Florida market, we're averaging 10 grand. That's what we're posting. We get 5 grand in one deal. It means we got to make it up with 15 in another.
Right. Understood.
Right. And so this month was 4 deals. And we got 2 signed. We've been averaging, we closed 2 last week. We got 2 under contract last week. And this week we already have 2 more under contract. So it's starting to really perform. And it works out to 4 live seller calls a day for Donna and Gil each. And we actually, you know, we had to change up. We had a little drama. What we were doing is we were having Donna talk to the leads first.
Wait a minute. 4 live seller calls each to do one
every
deal?
Every day. No, 4 calls a day. So,
no. 4 calls a day to do one deal per month?
No. That was for 4 deals a month. 4 deals a month, it worked out to 4 seller calls a day, 4 days a week. 4 live seller calls a day. That's what we basically gave them the numbers.
For the team or for each person?
Well, it's a little bit more complicated. We had a daisy chain approach in our market.
Right.
So Donna talked to the leads first, and then Gil got them
right.
Second. And then once they were qualified and ready, then they went over to Steve. We actually just changed it up. We're now having Donna and Gil work their own their own territory and now compete against one another. We had some issues where they were throwing each other under the bus a little bit. It was working. There was a little drama. Actually, it was kind of fun. Last week we had some drama and Chris, you know, back and forth, and you got a couple people in the Philippines, and one's complaining that the other one's taking a nap. I just said, hey, Chris is like, hey, what do you think? And I'm like, let's fire them both. Let's bring somebody else in. You know what I mean? And then I said, let's get them to compete. If they don't like each other, let's get them to compete against each other for deals. So now, Donna, you guys don't like each other. You're not playing well together. So you now compete against one another, and now you're competitors.
Regarding enough, Gary, I thought about thinking about today. I said, if these guys don't get along, I'm going to tell them that I'm not going to pick over one of you. We're going to get rid of both. Let both of you go, and then we just start from scratch. But the office politics still exists. We've got 2,000 miles away. 4,000, I don't have as miles away.
So, I mean, a couple of things that, you know, this is, I mean, I'm getting a better, clearer picture of what I need to do is, gee, it'd be great if at some point as part of your program you can take the stuff that you've learned on your sales management and make it part of this program, or, you know, you might even want to do some sort of additional coaching program.
I'll post on Podio. I will post the slide deck, the kickoff meeting for a sales team, and the huddle call for how we manage a huddle call for our daily call for 20 minutes, and how we manage the forecast call once a week. And I'll post those slides up on Podio this week for everybody. Okay,
getting properties, but it's only half the equation, right? I mean, you know, who on your team works on building and maintaining your buyers list? How do you do that?
You want to answer that?
Yeah, well, that's just always happening in the background. You know, I mean, it's happening in the background with regards to us doing direct mail campaigns, posting on Craigslist, getting agents from the MLS. I mean, that's just something that's always happening in the background.
What do you mean, Tori?
So,
ghost ads on Craigslist? I mean, what are we talking about here? Are we mailing to cash buyers? What?
Yeah, mainly to cash buyers, posting ads on Craigslist. We typically post when we do have a property. We don't do a lot of ghost ads. We just, when we have a deal for sale, we're advertising on Craigslist.
Right.
and they'll come into our funnel, get on our list, and then realtors, you know, so always trying to find realtors that will cooperate with us.
We do, Jeff. We do $300 worth of mailing. We're committed to doing $300 of mail for every deal we put under contract. We just do it, you know, relentlessly, just as part of the process. You know, property gets under contract. We do exactly what we recommend everybody else to do, which is you get a name and an address under contract. We send an email to the support team to drop $300 worth of mail if they can find it. And then we drive those into Podio, and then we call those leads. The main reason we're doing it,
$300 worth of mail to where? To cash buyers in?
The REI Vault program, the recommendation is get a property under contract, and we go find a radius, people that have bought within the last 3 to 6 months, all cash, big down payments, investor properties, right, without mortgages. We'll drop mail, and we drive those, and then we typically for that we get 50 to 60 calls. We end up getting 3 to 5 reasonable buyers.
Right.
Chris and I, we already have the buyers. Like in the Florida market, we have the buyers. They're kind of repetitive buyers. The problem is that we're kind of like, we want more buyers right now because we can get a higher price. You know, if you don't have enough buyers, you end up giving away too much profit. We ended up giving, like, we were looking at this deal this last week that we're getting like $6,000 on or $5,000, and we should have probably gotten $9,000. Right.
Yeah, I got one like that right now too, but you know it's a joint venture. It's like a joint venture thing. I have a wholesaler here with 1,000 name list. I mean, he's probably got 25 really good buyers. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm co-wholesaling it with him, and I'm going to get $5,000, and he's going to get $3,000.
Right.
You know, next. I mean, we're under contract.
I want to come back to something, Jeff. Well, I think it comes down to. We're going down, which is fine. We're discussing the buyers, but just to come back to your initial question, also I'm going to open it up to see if anybody else may have a comment or question as well. But in general, in the simplest form, the lead has to be followed up on aggressively, and everything has to be gone after in Podio. I would come back to your comment that you said in that your gals are just going after the other stuff. It's an issue where, for whatever reason, you know what has to be done there. They're not doing it. So you have one of two options. Either A, you can bring the hammer down and make sure that they do it, and you have to manage that process and get them. That might end up being an endeavor that may not be fruitful, because if they don't want to really do it, then no matter how hard you try, they're not going to do it. Or is it a situation where you're going to have to either do it yourself or find somebody else to do it?
Well, I've already decided, Chris. I mean, as much as I'd like to do it myself, I mean, the practical reality of it is I'm working at capacity, it's not going to happen.
Right.
All right, so that's the practical reality. The girls are being productive, you know. I can measure them better, but I'm going to leave them doing what they're doing, and they're going to stay away from REI Vault for now. And I've got a couple of leads on some aggressive salespeople. I'm going to put an aggressive commission-only salesperson on it, and we're going to have a separate huddle call after I have my huddle call with the other girls. And this is going to be their only option, is to work the REI Vault leads, and we'll see what happens, okay?
The only thing I would have them do is I'd have them all forecast their deals together, right? There's going to be a point in time you get a really good salesperson. Jeff, you've been around this for long enough. Sales, typically 5 to 10% of the salespeople aren't any good. So you got to go through a bunch of them.
Yep.
And you got to be really brutal, and that's why we don't like taking friends or family into that function, because most likely you're gonna fire them. And you have to be brutal, because if you're not making the money, you know, you have to figure out how much money you're going to make. And if you're not making it, you know, you got to run it like any other business, which is, you know, fire them and start again and get somebody who is aggressive, who is hungry, and they're willing to make a lot of money, right? And they you let them go. You let them go and work the deals, and if they don't produce, then you got to replace them again. And you do have to manage it. But I think what would happen, the other thing with a sales team is you want everybody to compete. You don't want, it's like a classroom. Like my daughter's a sophomore, right? If everybody's competing against a DRS student, it's just everybody's work, you know, it's laissez-faire, and we're might as well just live in another country where we just hang out and do nothing, right? You want everybody to be competing against the highest level of success, right? I want an A-plus person because I want to raise the game on the team. And everybody has to raise the game. And if, you know, and usually you can find a person, a good salesperson. Here's how you can tell a bad salesperson, okay, really fast. It takes you 1 week. When they talk about the leads sucking, and it's like, oh, these leads aren't any good. It's like, get rid of them. Find somebody that actually, you know, you're giving them teed up names and phone numbers, right? It's go watch the Glenn Ross movie, right? It's like everybody wants the Glengarry leads. It's like all those leads are Glengarry. You got to work them, and do that, and then get them to compete. And all of a sudden, if your two ladies are starting, you know, their market slows down a little bit, or they're not making the money that they want, then they got to raise their game. And the other thing that I really don't like, and you know, this is for you, Jeff. You're the captain of your boat, and I don't like paying people a salary. So if somebody's comfortable making a certain amount of money, then they're in an admin job. You know, sales is a function; it's a commissionable function role.
Well, I have a hybrid. They have both, all right?
Yeah.
They get a base and a 10% of the deal.
Yeah. We used to, back in the software world, this is the way software companies that work. It's typically you always fire, like the bottom 10 to 15% you fire. And they would fire at the end of the quarter. Because most of the deals would always come in at the last day of the quarter anyway. And so the next day, it was always the same. You know, you'd have like 30 people and you'd fire six. And, you know, you just, unfortunately, that's, you know, when we're playing in a business where there's, you know, we're trying to make 500 to $1 million, like those are the hard decisions to be made.
I'm going to open it up to call to see if anybody else may have any comments or questions. Because I'm curious if anybody might have a comment or question, or for either myself or Gary.
Hi guys, this is Art from Pittsburgh. How are you?
Good. How about you?
Good. Working my ass off, but you know that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Here is my issues that I'm running into. I'm getting quite a number of properties under contract right now. I did a big nailer, I guess about 10 days ago, for buyers in the specific zip codes that I nailed to. I had a number of really good conversations with buyers. And now that I have these properties under contract, what I'm running into is I can't get these guys back on the phone. They're not responding to me.
Who are you not getting a hard time on the phone? The seller or the buyer?
Buyers.
The buyers.
Yes, I'm not getting the buyers. I have no problem getting an initial call with a buyer. You know, I get the information I'm looking for, you know, the type of properties they want, the zip codes, you know, the areas. And then when I get properties in those areas and the types that they're looking for, I just can't get them back on the phone. And I don't know whether I'm doing something wrong in that area or I just don't have enough and I should do another mailing.
A couple of things. How many people would you say you've tried to do that with? How many buyers are you talking about here? Just a handful, or I mean, two or three, or five or ten, or more than that you're not able to get a hold of?
About ten.
So in other words, you had are those ten buyers you had an initial conversation with? Now you've called them and left them a message and said, "Hey, I have a deal for you," or did you send them the deal by email and then you're trying to follow up with them by phone? Give me an idea of what the process?
Yeah, it's been a cross section. Some of them like a phone call. Some of them like an email. I have sent emails to the ones that want to be emailed, and then I, you know, try to follow up with them again via the phone just to make sure they got, well, you know, just keeping their face, really. I always want to keep in front of these people, you know, and get their feedback and, you know, let them find out if I have a deal with them or I don't have a deal with them.
My thought on that is, this also, I mean, I would, especially for you, what, you know, your this is kind of your first mating campaign, and you're trying to strike, you know, get your first few deals on the contract and get them sold. Yes, you do the best you can. Some of these buyers, they'll talk, there's a combination of a couple of things that could be happening in the background. One could be that they could be talking a game, a big game, but in the end, when all is said and done, they're not a buyer. That's number one. Number two, it could mean that they're just not interested in the property. So part of your process, whether it be with them or anybody else, is you're trying to figure out if the pricing that you have these deals at, is that really a good price? So if you have gone into markets where, gee, I tied up some properties I thought they were a good price, and then I come in and I talk to some wholesalers, talk to some buyers, et cetera, and then I figure out that, you know, the deal that I thought was a really great deal isn't really a good deal after all. And so you kind of, could it be that, yeah, the deal's not that great, so they just don't bother calling you back. Most people are not, if it's a deal, they're going to call, even the guys that we continually work with, we call them and we try to get a hold of them, and if they're not interested, sometimes they don't call us back. It doesn't mean, you know, it's just we don't expect anybody to call us back unless it's the deal that they want. The other thing I would try to do is that I have and I could point you in the direction if you need to. I have a doc, a PDF that's in the members area that discusses other ways to find buyers and or also to speak with other wholesalers and or realtors. Because in the beginning, what you want to try to do is you want to get that deal in front of as many people as you can. Obviously, it's always better to sell it yourself. But even if you have to, you know, cooperate with a wholesaler, you know, we have in our market, you know, 10 different wholesalers. There's probably maybe two or three that we really work with all the time because the rest of them went 50% on the deal. These other two or three, they're willing to work with us and take a little bit less on the deal. However, if we can't sell the deal, then we just send it to everybody. But in the beginning, if you find a wholesaler that does know the market, you know, it really works to your benefit because you can bounce that deal off of them, and they might come back and say, you know, that deal isn't that great because I saw that type of house all day long for X. If you have it at this number, and that's really way too high, I can't send it onto my list. So you need to go kind of on a fact-finding mission. You're on a dual mission. You're in a mission to sell it, but you're also in a mission that it's not going to sell. But you know, figure out like what's the issue? Is it the price? Is it the area? So then that way you can make some adjustments. But going back to your original question, you know, with these buyers, it could be that either they might be a little flaky. Maybe they bought. We encounter buyers that they just bought a deal, so they're really not in a position to buy another one for a couple of months. That could be an issue. Or it could be that they just don't think it's a deal, but they're not really just calling you back, which is the courtesy they should, but some of them just don't call back.
Okay.
One other thing, Art. This is Art, right?
Yes.
Another thing you could do, this has actually worked for us on a couple of recent deals, and we're focusing more on it, is go back to the RealQuest report. Mm-hmm. And look at some of the properties that have sold in the on the lower end on that RealQuest comparable report. And go search those addresses. You're probably going to find that those were listings, properties that were probably not bought from the seller direct. They were probably listings, and call the listing agent. And see if the listing agent, if their buyer, just say, hey, I've got a property near one that you sold. I believe you were the listing agent, or not the listing agent, the buyer's agent. And call the buyer's agent and see if they have any, if their client is interested in any more properties similar to the one they bought at a good price. And, you know, cut the realtor in for a small commission. That's what we ended up doing on that Dallas deal. Talked about that about a month ago.
Yeah.
And that's working. And by the way, within our sphere of influence, within not people in the REI Vault group, but heavy mailers that are doing $30,000 to $50,000 of mail a month. They're finding that as well of working with some of the listing agents. If you don't find the buyer direct, obviously you're going to give a little profit away. You know, you could always negotiate a little bit better on the price with the seller, but that might be another way to do it.
Okay.
And the other way to do it is also you look at the comp report and you'll see the properties are recently sold. And obviously you could see that they're investors, and if it's a corporation, ABC Corporation, I would look them up onto the corporate website, or even putting in that name into Google, and many times you get a phone number, some contact information, they just give them a call directly. And we've gotten some good buyers that way too as well, just giving them a call as opposed to, you know, they might already have gotten a postcard mailed to them just simply because we're doing a mailing to that zip code and the surrounding zip codes. But at the same time, you know, nothing beats a call, somebody getting a call and saying, hey, I just noticed you bought a property here. I got another one if you're interested. If not, then I'll put you in the buyer's list.
Let me just ask you a question because I want to see if you have the same perspective. I've never seen that we have to chase good buyers that actually buy houses. We don't really have to chase them down. It's not a sales process. It's more of a, you know, if we've got a good product at the right price, they're coming to us.
Yeah.
Would you agree with me? So it's usually like...
If you're having to chase a buyer down, it's because you got a crappy deal. The deal is not as good. Because if the deal was as good, so you got to figure out if that a good deal. Because, you know, is that really the deal that you think it is? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. I don't know enough, you know, I can't judge the deal. But you got to really try to put it out there in the right people so that you can get some input and figure out if it's a deal or not. Because I would agree with Gary that when the deals are good, we don't have any issues. We have to turn away people.
Okay.
Yeah, I call it the finger on the pulse, too. You know, it's not like you have one buyer, and one buyer gives you an answer and you live with that. Usually it's sort of a, you need 5 or 10 people to evaluate the property, especially if you haven't sold a lot in that market. And, you know, you're only looking, if you want to close 3 to 4 deals a month, you're only looking for 1 or 2 buyers, repeat buyers. And so when you're first kind of getting it up and running, you know, you got to get your finger on the pulse a little bit. And be real careful. You got to be real careful not to make decisions too fast. A lot of people, if they're inexperienced, they'll make the decision that the deal's bad or the price is wrong off of one call or one kind of negative call. You know, sometimes a buyer will tell you that they don't like the property or it's too high price, but there's no price that they want. They want free, or they don't have any money anyway, so they're going to give you bad information. So it takes a little bit of work and reading between the lines. But, you know, I see that you got 60 buyers. You got a bunch of emails. I would, you know, I'd send them emails. I'd send them text messages. I'd call them and call them a few times. And if they don't call you back, then you know that they're a dud, a firecracker that doesn't have any gunpowder in it.
Right. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks.
All right.
Anybody else has any questions before we wrap out? All right, as always, guys, listen, our objective is to help you do well in your business. And we talk to you from a perspective of actually being in the business and doing it. And so whatever the issues are, we address them, good or bad, because our job is to give you the best advice that we can, based on our experience, so that you can do well. So calls like this, troubleshooting issues, whatever the case may be, never an issue because we believe in 100% transparency, and the only way we can help you is just by being open and honest about the issues that you're having and thinking about a way to best help you and give you the best advice. It may not be the advice you may want to hear, but sometimes we just give you the advice that we have to give. Unfiltered, and because all we keep in mind is that where we're coming from is we want to help you. So we want to do everything we can to help you, and that's always our perspective, good or bad. So with that said, I want to thank everybody for being on the call today and participating. And if you need anything, in between the calls, as always, get a hold of us by sending an email to dealhelp@reivolt.com, dealhelp@reivolt.com, or if you need any technical help with your campaign, marketing, et cetera, Podio, you can send an email to support@salesteamlive.com, support@salesteamlive.com. With that, I wish everybody a great afternoon, and hope everybody has a great remainder of the week and some good results this week. So thank you.
All right, everybody. Take care.